It is the Kicking It With the Colonels podcast presented by UK Sports Medicine. Wes and KJ here with you with another episode of the podcast, and we are talking EKU athletics. A lot going on, as usual, around the campus. Beautiful. Talk volleyball first, KJ. Coming off a 3-0 win over Queens, also a 3-set win over West Georgia. They're rolling into a pretty good time of the year now.
Yeah, I like to call it the Kicking It With the Colonels luck.
There you go. Yep, podcast power, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. We spoke to Kendall, and now we got two sweeps over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Addison Burke had a huge weekend, 8 kills against Queens, 15 against West Georgia. That was a team high in the West Georgia game. She was recently named Conference Freshman of the Week. And you experienced it a lot on your team to have – underclassmen come in and play such a huge role. What does that do to a team?
I mean, it just makes the team so much greater, honestly, because a lot of teams struggle with, you know, the seniors and the juniors, like, trying to pick everybody else up. But when you have a freshman step up like that, it's just all the better. It's not something you can go out and grab very easily. So
now, after those back-to-back wins, 4-2 in the A-Sun, it's going to be a tough stretch next week.
Yeah.
This weekend and into next weekend. 4 straight on the road. They will play North Florida, Jacksonville, North Alabama, and Central Arkansas. Anytime you go on the road, no matter the sport, it's always difficult.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But these two wins should really help them continue to build that winning streak and continue to take off in conference.
And they've got North Florida before they got Jacksonville. And we talked with Kendall a little bit about Jacksonville, who spent her first year there. Jacksonville 6-0.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a really stiff competition. I'm excited to see how that one turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, soccer was in action again against Bellarmine, or a repeat of the game prior, and Colonels keep on winning.
Yeah,
It was a complete different style in a complete different way than the 5-1 they had here in Richmond. 2 late goals were huge in that game.
Yeah, a huge comeback win. Another example of the Kicking It With the Colonels, like Maddie Murphy with another goal. So, I mean, we did talk about on the last podcast how it would be a close game, and we saw it there. So I'm just glad we got the win for sure.
She has scored 2 goals since we had her on the podcast.
Yeah.
Just saying. Just saying. Maybe Brayden will have a 15-tackle game, and we'll have Brayden Sullivan on here in just a little bit. And Anna Manning tied it at 1 with her goal there. And then, as you mentioned, Maddie Murphy got the game-winning goal. 2 goals in the final 13 minutes. It was not looking good
at all.
And then they were able to get that one. And one more nugget with that last goal by Maddie Murphy. Kiara Permoli set the program record in assist.
Oh, wow.
So she's been so good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she goes under the radar, I feel like, just setting everybody up. And she's one of the more technical pieces that they have. And kind of that under the radar weapon.
Yes, those are one of the most important pieces to a program for sure. Like, the people that don't get as much recognition just because maybe they're not getting the goals, maybe they're not getting the game-winning saves, but they're just as important for sure.
I know who she's not flying under the radar of. That's Matt Kosnick. He knows what he's getting in Kiara Permoli. Well, soccer, there's only 4 regular season games left.
Mm-hmm.
We're winding down on soccer now. They're 4-1-1 in the conference, tied for 2nd in the gold division with 13 points. Lipscomb leads that division with 19 right now at the moment. And it's a really important next game for them because they play the team on the road that is directly behind them.
Yes.
And you know that they are going to be fired up to try to take down EKU and climb up a spot.
Yes, for this next game, they really need to not have the game that they just had and come out on top at the beginning and not wait until the last minute for sure, because that'll bite them in the butt.
Because that 2nd seed is the final hosting seed, too, for the conference tournament. So there's a little bit more added pressure there, too. So it'd be a big game against North Alabama. That will be on Thursday night in Florence, Alabama, where EKU football will be also this weekend. And speaking of football, they're coming off a huge, huge win over at Austin Peay, ranked 15th in the country. 34-20, you talk about a game of 2 different halves.
Yes.
First half was kind of, the second half was a completely different story.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, similar to soccer, they kind of waited just a little bit to get fired up, but all that matters is they got the win at the end for sure.
We'll talk with Brayden Sullivan here in just a little bit, but you had a 100-yard kickoff return by T.J. Mitchell, the 3rd time in school history that they've had such an instance of 100 yards or more. Well, you can't go over 100 in college because everything's caps at 100. Then you had a pick six for Vito Tisdale. And then another big run by Brady Hensley, just breaking the game open, 72-yard run, made it a two-score game. And that was kind of the defining moment that everybody knew, all right, we got this.
Yes, and I think it's cool because all three phases of the team scored that game, special teams, offense, defense. So it just shows how important it is for everybody to step up in a game like that.
Yeah, and it's now the 10th win in a row at Roy Kidd Stadium. And I thought you were able to see – kind of a growing up game from the quarterback, Miles Burkett.
Yes.
He had a really good game, 175 yards. He kind of managed the game. I hate using that term
because,
you know, it kind of gets misconstrued a little bit. But I thought he showed a lot of toughness and kind of doing whatever it takes for his team to win.
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell he's growing over the season. As the season progresses, he's learning his team. He's learning what his role is on the team, and it's nice to see. And it's at a great place in the season as well.
You held Austin Peay scoreless in the second half, just 152 yards of total offense in the second half. And one of the big reasons why was the guy we're getting ready to talk to in Braden Sullivan. So we're going to turn it over to our conversation with Sully. They call him the linebacker for EKU. Here's Braden Sullivan on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast. He is one of the anchors of the EKU defense, joining us here on the podcast from football. It's Braden Sullivan, linebacker.
Good to be here.
All right, Braden, so first I'm going to start you off with our This or That section, which is sponsored by UK Sports Medicine. I'm going to ask you 10 rapid-fire questions. Just answer whatever comes to your brain the first.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, first question, dogs or cats?
Dogs, for sure.
Coffee or energy drink?
I'll have to say energy drink.
Stay up late or wake up early?
Stay up late.
Morning workout or evening workout?
Evening workout.
Case or Stratton?
Stratton.
Madden or NCAA?
NCAA.
Night game or afternoon game?
Afternoon game.
Student section or the home side fans?
I'm going to say student section.
Cause a fumble or recover it?
Cause.
Blitz or zone?
Blitz.
All right.
All right, you're warmed up now. You're ready to go. You're ready to go. Well, your team is coming off a wild win on Saturday against Austin Peay, a ranked Austin Peay team here behind us at Roy Kidd Stadium. Where do you feel like EKU took control of that game and was able to come out on top?
Yeah, I think there was multiple instances of us coming on top to make it happen. The first one was T.J. Mitchell's 100-yard, you know, takeoff. It was just awesome to watch. Like, I was just sitting watching film from, you know, them just scoring. I was like, dang, that sucks. And then all I hear is everyone just erupt. And I see T.J. zooming. And I was like, oh, let's go. So that was the first instance. And then I'd say the second instance was when Vito had that pick six. I just knew at that point that we could stick in this game no matter what happened. And at that point, it would be who's going to kneel down first. And obviously, they kneeled down first and got those two big scores at the end, and it was able to finish it.
I'm trying to do some digging, and so we can go back in the record books, and some of the records aren't as, you know, clear as they are today. But this is one of, if not the only time, that we've had a 100-yard kickoff return for a touchdown and a pick six in a same game. So if it's happened, it's not been many, but I can't find any dating back to a certain time. So it just kind of tells you how wild of a game it truly was.
Yeah.
What was the team's focus in the second half? Because in the third and fourth quarter, you guys really shut down a very good Austin Peay team.
Yeah. I mean, the thing of it was just on offense, I think the guys were just trying to get the ball moving because the stat line was not great for the first half. That second half, they were just trying to get that ball moving, whether it was run the ball or pass the ball, whatever they had to do to get in that box. And defensively, our goal, I know first half, was we were happy enough with what we did, because the game last year, it was 27-3, I think, at half, and it was just not a great look. So this year, it was just, you know, do the same thing we did the year before and hold them to zero and just, you know, shut them down and make them kneel. And we did. And so the goal was just shut them down completely on both sides of the ball.
The hard part about football is now that's in the past. So you got to throw that in the past and now move on into North Alabama, go to North Alabama this upcoming weekend. Have you ever played in such a strong conference as the UAC? Because top to bottom, I mean, there's a ton of depth in this league.
Yeah, it's very stacked. And the only thing that really can compared to it even a little bit is my JUCO conference, the Jayhawk. And, you know, that was a stacked conference, but it's JUCO. It's not Division I football, so you can't exactly compare the two. But that's, you know, closest thing I can.
And you told me in fall camp you wanted to put more of an emphasis in flying to the ball. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like you're doing in that
area? I think I'm doing really good, a lot better than last season. The GPS unit says it, even for everybody, everyone's taking that role. But for me personally, it starts in practice. Like I told you that then you have to give your all in practice for the translate in the field. And I think I've done a tremendous job of doing that. So,
and for the casual fans that may not know it, exactly what that means, does that mean just following the ball wherever it is on the field, east, west, north, south?
I mean, that's one way to do it, I guess, that'll work. That'll get you there. But no, it's just, in the middle of the play, remind yourself of your goals, and which is hard to do, but just think of one and just freaking go. Like, turn into a wild animal and just go. Take off. And, I remember last season I'd get strained or tired just so much in the games, even in practice. And, now it's – I don't really get tired. Like, I'll finish, we do 4-play racks each, and I'll get on the sideline. I may huff up for a second, but after that I'm just normal breathing, fine, ready to go for the next rack. Same on the field. Like, I can go the whole time. Like, I Coach Johnson tries to give me, a couple breaks, but I don't want breaks. I don't need breaks. I feel fine. So, yeah.
And that's where all that hard work and conditioning in the fall camp comes.
Exactly. Yeah, all of it. Even, spring, summer, all of it. So, yeah.
Now, a New Smyrna Beach native from Florida, does that make you an automatic beach bum? Do you live on the beach, or do you hardly go anymore?
I mean, I never really went all that often. To be honest with you, I'm like 20 minutes from the beach. I'm on the outskirts of New Smyrna. So I do live in the country. But, when I get the chance, I'll go. But it's mainly tourists to go to the beach. A lot of locals, they kind of just stick to their routine, do their thing. But when I get the chance, I definitely go to the beach. It's beautiful. You can't deny that. So
you don't have that in Texas.
I don't have that in Texas. My waters are not blue. They are they're mud brown. All we got.
So when you do go to the beach, what's your favorite activity? Do you like to play volleyball? Do you like to throw a football in the water there? What do you like to do on the beach?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you do is, you get out and you sprint towards the water and you just dive in like a crazy person. And then you get out, and I like to throw the football with a buddy or something and just hang out. So,
yeah, are you a surfer, jet ski? You do any of that either, too?
I used to surf when I was younger. I kind of got, decently sized, I'd say. And it's a little harder. It's just like paddling out past all those waves is just such a difficult task just to ride a wave in. I don't know if it's necessary for me anymore. But ocean wise, I offshore fish and all that stuff, go boating all the time, do stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. You're a big hunter and a fisherman, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
What's kind of been the biggest thing you've ever caught?
I've caught some sharks, but redfish, that's really inshore, but offshore, probably red snapper, stuff like that. So
I love how they just kind of
casually.
I mean, yeah.
No big deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is fun fact, but New Smyrna is considered shark bite capital of the world.
Okay.
So they say there's always a shark like 6 feet from you at all times, I guess. Now, these aren't like huge sharks necessarily, but there's always a shark.
Yeah.
So.
And he just said that he dove in the water every time.
Yeah. Goes. First thing, you gotta let him know who's boss.
Right,
that's
right,
all.
Right.
That's it.
So does Shark Week come to your city?
I don't know if they have or not. I think they did, but I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. That's crazy. So enough about sharks and beach. How did you get started in football?
So I think I was like 4 years old, and we just went to my cousin's, Pop Warner game one time, and I was just a little kid, whatever, in the stands. I was like, what this is, I had no idea. And I remember watching it for the first time. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, be able to go out there and just hit somebody freely, do whatever you want, run, feel just like the emotions from the sideline. I couldn't imagine the emotions in the game. So I told my dad that day that I wanted to play, I was ready to play. And we talked to the coach, and I wanted to start, the next week, but I think I had to wait till I was 5. So that was the story of me starting. And then I've obviously been playing since I was 5 years old. Love the game. Hasn't changed. I mean, there's ups and downs in the game, but yeah.
And then fast forward to high school. You had a great career in high school, but the recruiting was not kind of what you wanted it. How challenging was that to – you look on paper and you're just like, man, I'm having a monster season. Why aren't the offers matching the play on the field?
Yeah, and I can answer that because I lived it and my brother's living it right now, and it sucks, but – It's just the level of teams that you play around that area. Like, there's not, I mean, there's great teams around there, but just like, I don't know, just we don't play those huge teams like IMG and all of them from Florida. You don't play the competition. So those college coaches, they see who you're playing. They're like, oh, they're not going to have many guys really. But, so that's just it. It's the level of play, I think. Like, obviously I had like a D2 and NAIA opportunity, and I was seriously considering the NAIA opportunity, and thank goodness I didn't. No offense to that school, but you know, I took the JUCO route and bet on myself, and I knew that was gonna be a tough road, and you know, it worked out great, and I proved that I can play at this level. And it sucks to talk about, kind of, because like my brother, like I said, is going through the exact same thing, and he's having a tremendous year, you know, and he's not really getting any looks. And I know that that can go anywhere if they gave him an opportunity. So, yeah.
So as in my sport, we have what's called like select, which is like out of high school. Yep. So that's where we get recruited. Mm-hmm. How different? Like, do y'all have anything like that?
The only real thing is like college camps. That's really all you have. And then the connections you have. Like, for instance, I didn't even really get recruited because of my high school coach, like, or get the opportunity to go to JUCO. It was my high school principal. Because he was like, I think he's family or family friends with the coach. It was my principal and my Pop Warner coach that got me the opportunity to go play JUCO. So, sorry, what'd you say? What was the second part?
Just, is there like, you answered it. There's college camps.
College camps. And even then, like, it's not a great opportunity because they already know who they want to look at. Yeah. And they're not looking at really anybody else. So it's kind of just like a money gimmick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Every kid, or 99.9% of kids that play football, dream of playing Division I football. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think for a moment, with the recruiting not going how you wanted it, did you ever think, maybe this isn't in the cards?
No, I didn't, because I just knew what I was capable of, and I just knew that I had to go bet on myself, and the opportunity would present itself. I just needed to play better competition, and that was it. So.
And that speaks a lot about his mindset.
That's
too,
a tough mentality.
Because I would not be that way.
Yeah.
I'd be, okay, maybe it's not for me. Mm-hmm. I know you speak really highly about your time in community college. How did that prepare you on and off the field for what you're experiencing now?
Yeah. I mean, the level of competition, I mean, isn't the same, but there is highly athletic guys on that field too that played Division I ball or supposed to be in Division I ball. But life-wise, you know, you're in a town with 600 people. There's a gas station, one family-owned restaurant. There's nothing going on. And it's like, you know, you're in high school. You have your parents taking care of you and all this stuff. And you go to – I went to Highland, Kansas, which is, you know, like, it's like a 20-hour drive to even get there, and it, like, 3-hour flight, whatever. It's middle of nowhere. You have to – you learn to grow up real quick. You know, obviously laundry, that's for everybody, but – just like getting your own food and like having to travel 30, 40 minutes to go get groceries and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just different. And you meet people that you can call your brothers, because that's where I first interacted with that. Because all those guys out there are fighting for the same thing you are, to get that opportunity. And you all just bond over that. And like I was able to meet a couple of guys, and you know, we'd go duck hunting and all that stuff, and it was just such a cool experience. And you know, those guys will be at my wedding one day and all that stuff. So yeah.
You're playing out in Kansas. How did EKU get involved?
So I think it was Coach Day that first sent me up, and we were texting for a while, and then they kind of ghosted me. I was like, what's going on here? I was like, okay. And I also had an offer from Buffalo, but I didn't want to go to play in Buffalo. It's real cold. But anyway, so. Yeah, they kind of ghosted me, and I was like, oh boy, what's going on here? I was like, okay, I guess I'm, you know.
You thought you were going to Buffalo.
I was like, well, I'm just going to play another season and see what happens. And this was in spring, and like they contacted me early spring, nothing throughout the spring, and end of spring came. Then Coach Day, I think, hit me back up, and Coach Jonathan started texting me. And then Coach Day was like, well, are you still interested in coming here? I was like, I mean, of course, like, you know, it's an opportunity. Anyway, he came out to Highland for, you know, to see me. So I was like, okay, well, they actually believe in me and want me. And at that time, I'm gonna be honest, I thought I was gonna stay at my JUCO, but came here on a visit, and kind of I fell in love with the place, and I was like, okay, this is a great opportunity. I have to come here. So
Yeah, for sure. And that's awesome story to hear. Mm-hmm. When you think about kind of how far you've come, because I imagine being the competitor you are, that you obviously you're happy to be at EKU, but mm-hmm. you know, it's one thing to be at EKU, but also to earn reps and yep. get that playing time. I imagine you were happy, but you also wanted to strive for more
too. Of course, always. You know, you always strive to be the best and be in the best position possible, of course. And last year, coming in, you know, I had a lot of seniors. Like, I knew this was going to be a challenge to even get an opportunity. And at first, I wasn't really getting the opportunity. And unfortunately, those guys went down, and my opportunity came. And, you know, I did my thing, I guess you could say. And it was awesome. It felt great. But I was always putting myself in, like, a competition with Maddox. Just to be the best, that's not even a bad thing. It's a great thing, because I think it strived for us both just to be so great, and obviously it gave him the great opportunity to go where he is now. And you know, I want to strive to do way more than what I did last year, and I had to step it up. I'm gonna be honest, I have to step it up this year. I got to step everything up. So, yeah.
And how hard is it to come into a program like this as a newcomer and earn that spot?
I mean, I guess it can be kind of difficult, because it's, you know, you're learning a whole new play system and people, like, everyone's new, especially for me, because I thought I was going to stay at Majuco another year, but then last second kind of changed my mind. So it was hard for me mentally for a while, just to kind of get adjusted to, like, all the new people, new coaches, new staff, all that stuff. But if you can get past that, I don't think it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's just the new plays you got to learn, and you'll be fine. So.
With moving as much as you do and how much you travel with playing a game like football, mm-hmm. got to have a huge support system that right. supports you. Yeah. Talk about your support system and what you have.
Yeah, I mean, I got my family. I got my mom and dad and my two brothers. And I got my girlfriend as well. And just all my family. Like, you know, just this past week I had, this isn't even family, this is, I guess, family friends, but I consider family. We have a cabin in Georgia and they're our neighbors, and they brought their two daughters, and they both came, traveled like 5 hours to get here and watch the game. And I got my family that, you know, they come to every game they can. And my girlfriend, too. And my grandpa was up here this past week. And so I got a pretty big, you know, decently sized. Like, it's not huge, you know, like some of these guys. But I got what I need, family and friends. So, yeah.
So they are able to come to a couple
yeah,
games?
Yeah, they come awesome. To when they can, yeah. So,
what have you learned at EKU in your time here that's made you a better player?
Just, I think, listening to Coach Johnson talk, and, like, the way he talks, like, throughout the game, and, like, you just listen to him watching film, and he'll call all the routes, and, like, I think that's made me a better football player, because, like, just listening to him and what he thinks in his mind from a defensive coordinator's perspective, and also trying to kind of listen to the offense perspective, like, when Coach Wells will talk in like, a team meeting about the offense and listen to the calls and all that, and kind of on the sideline, too, even listening to the offensive. Because if you're a defensive guy and you can understand the offense, I think you're pretty set, and you're going to be able to do a lot of good things. So,
that's terrific. All right, you ready to break out the wheel?
Let's break out the wheel.
Let's break out the wheel here and wrap things up.
Oh, my gosh. It doesn't get lighter.
It gets heavier every time. All right. This will be your wrap-up. All right, go ahead and give it a Price is Right spin.
Oh, boy.
That was a weak one.
Come on.
I don't want to hit the mic.
Your favorite ice cream.
Okay. I like vanilla for my base, but I'd probably have to say, like, I want to add, if I can add stuff, I'm going to add probably like cookie dough and peanut butter pieces, even brownie pieces. I like that. Ooh, yeah. And maybe a little fudge. You know, a little fudge doesn't hurt. So that's definitely my ice cream to go.
Is that an off-season snack, though, when you get that over?
Oh, no, that's an anytime snack. No diets here.
Well, Braden, we appreciate having you on. It's been a blast getting to talk with you, and best of luck against North Alabama and the rest of the season.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. That's linebacker Braden Sullivan joining us here on the podcast today, and appreciate you all tuning us in. Till next time, you've been kicking it with the Colonels.